so many wonderful things to be thankful for. We can get so busy in life and forget the important things, church, God. I'm so thankful for my family and truly thankful for my wife. We sometimes get very busy, and we actually had a slow weekend this weekend. Comparably, we were still very busy, weren't we? But really got to enjoy some time together, God is good. When we have these opportunities to just stop and to think what He's given us, God is good. This morning, that kind of goes along with our sermon. We're going to finish up in Job. So we're in Job 42, and we're going to look at verse 12. And it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of ox, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. He called the and now I want to jump down to verse 16. After this lived Job 140 years, and he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days." Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we approach the throne of grace, we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you have given us. Lord, we just ask that you'll watch and care over us. Lord, as we look at a small portion of your word and as we try to understand Job, but more importantly, as we try to understand you, Lord, just open our hearts that we may be receptive to the things that you would have for us, the good things that you would have to bless us in our lives. And Lord, the tribulation that we may go through those with patience. Lord, just ask these many things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We find here the end of the book of Job. We have been looking at a series. I did 4 sermons in chapters 1 and 2, and did 1 sermon chapter 2 all the way through 42. We're going to finish up this morning. There's so much wonderful things about Job. The title of my message, I want to take from verse 12. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than he blessed the beginning." If you remember the very first sermon that I preached, I used a verse in James 5:11. And James 5:11 talks about the patience of Job. Did you know that nowhere in the book of Job does it say the patience of Job? It demonstrates the patience of Job. James 5:11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." In Job 42:12, if you're still there, it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end." One of the translations for the word blessed is happy. This verse kind of says the same thing there as Job 42, verse 12. It says, "Behold, we count them happy or blessed which endure." We're going to talk about endurance this morning. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. What does it say in Job 42, verse 12? "He blessed the end greater than the beginning." That the Lord is very pitiful or merciful, gracious and of tender mercy. You could almost just say God is good. God is good. Go back to Job 42, verse 12. And we find here in these verses, we're going to start in verse 10. I just want to talk a little bit about Job, how Job got here. Remember, Job was doing just fine, had a wonderful family,
was a rich man, blessed of God, very faithful and diligent in his worship and service to God. God said of Job, he is a faithful man. Four characteristics of his holiness. And here, in verse 10, we find that after Job had endured all these trials and tribulations brought upon him by Satan, verse 10 is a turning point for Satan. It says, or for Job. It says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job." It's an interesting word, captivity. Job had sat there, and he had lost his family, then he had lost his health, and he had sat there in sackcloth and ashes. And the idea is because of his illness and his circumstances, he was in captivity. He wasn't able to do what he wanted to do. He wasn't able to do what he could have done in the past. Some people have prison bars, if you will, because of circumstances of life. And that's kind of what the idea here is, this captivity, these restrictions, these difficulties that were brought upon Job. It says that the Lord had turned these and released Job from these. Look at when and why. You see it there? When he prayed for his friends. It's not a minor thing there. I want you to understand what has gone on. Job had lost all of his children, all of his wealth. Then in the next blow, his health was taken away. And his wife is so distraught and so concerned, she says, "Job, it's enough. Curse God and die." She was hurting too. She saw her husband hurting. Job is all alone. Then his friends come and sit there for a whole week. But as his friends sit there, they're thinking, and then they start saying, "Job, you've done something wrong. Job, this is your fault." In other words, they made it about them. Instead of comforting Job, they decided they had all the answers. You ever had friends like that? They know it all. If they could only live your life too, it would be great. Their life's probably a mess. You ever seen that? They had it all figured out, and Job ends up defending himself. Remember, they're still sitting there. Job and his three friends, and then there is a younger man. There's four actually there, and they literally start arguing with Job. And there are those 40 chapters from chapter 3 all the way through 42. There's a dialogue going on between Job and his friends. And then at the end, remember, and I preached on this last week, God said to his friends, he says, "You have not spoken correctly about me. Job has spoken correctly about me. So I want you to go take and bring offerings to Job, and he will offer sacrifices for you." Job is still sick. And when God brought this to Job, he had a choice. He could sit there and feel sorry for himself, or he could get up and he could offer sacrifices for his friends so they could be forgiven in God's eyes. And Job got up and he prayed for his friends. And he did what God wanted him to do. One of the things that will change our life when difficult times change, or when difficult times come, don't just focus on yourself. Find somebody to minister to. Find somebody to pray for. It's really important to do. It can help. That was what changed Job. It literally says that in verse 10. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job." Those things that held him, restricted him from being able to serve God anymore, changed when he prayed for his friends. He was sitting there, his health was bad, he had lost everything, the means by which he could serve God was gone. How can I serve God with nothing? We still have ourselves. And Job took what he had and he prayed to God on the behalf of his friends. He started ministering to others, and that changed his whole perspective. Sometimes when we struggle, we start looking inward, and it becomes all about us. Chapter 3 through 42 is all about Job. Job's three friends have a dialogue of what's right and wrong with Job. God has a dialogue of what's right and wrong with Job. Job has a dialogue about what's right and wrong with Job. It's good to take inventory of ourselves. There's many Bible verses that tell us to take inventory. But folks, when it's all about us, when it's all about us, that wasn't Job's doing. Remember, his friends were the one that made it about him, right? But the issue is what changed it for Job when he started ministering to others? It gave him a purpose in life, didn't it? It gave him something to live for. And look at verse 11. I like these two verses together. And then came there unto him all his brethren and his sisters, family, relatives. The Hebrew says that it's probably not only brothers and sisters, but aunts and uncles, an extended family. They came, and it says, and all that had been his acquaintances, and that word literally means a friend, all of his friends. Job just didn't have three friends. He had many friends. He had a great many number of family that loved him. And as he had grieved, and these three friends, and I waffle, sometimes I think, wow, what great friends to come for 7 days and just sit there. For 7 days. Didn't say a word, just comforted him. And then they kind of take a nosedive, because then it's all about them and they have Job all figured out. Job, if you just listen to me, your life would be okay. Job, I have all the answers. Job, God has given me a special revelation about your life. Were they really friends? Job needed comforting, and so these brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, extended family came. Other friends came. Verse 11, and they did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him. They grieved with him. And they comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought or allowed Satan to bring upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. You see what's going on there? The difference between these friends and this family and the other three friends, they ministered to Job. They didn't just judge him. They took care of him. Do you see the difference? When Job got better was when he started getting outside of himself and started ministering to others, which then allowed others to start ministering to him. That was good for them, and it was good for him. Ministering to others is good for us. I want to go down quickly to verse 16. And it talked about in verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Verse 16, after this lived Job 140 years. How was the end of Job better than the beginning? James says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Endurance was a key to Job. Ye have heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. So how did Job get to the end? By enduring. Sticking around until the end. You know, oftentimes we don't ever get the blessings in the end because we don't stick around for the end. Think about it. There's some wonderful stories in the Bible about people who are blessed by God simply based upon endurance. That's it. That was the quality that got them through. Job endured, made it to the end. Was it easy? I don't think so. It was tough. He had to deal with his friends who kept saying, Job, this is your fault. He even had to deal with God who argued with him and had difficulty because God says, Job, I'm holy. And holy says, God, I know I'm a sinner. And the struggle between God and Job. Remember Noah? God came unto Noah and he says, build an ark. I'm going to cause it to rain. There was a piece done, I remember hearing it when I was in grade school. I'm not that old, so it wasn't that long ago. But when I was in grade school, you ever hear Bill Cosby do his Noah routine? I don't know if I should bring that up in church. It was funny. I heard it so long ago, I hope it's not too bad off color. But it was very funny. And the idea was, God came unto Noah and said, build me an ark. And I'm not going to be funny like Bill Cosby. You know I'm not that funny, right? Okay. Won't even tell you a joke. But he says, build me an ark. Now, they hadn't had rain to that point. And Job says, build an ark. What's an ark? Right? God says, it's going to rain. What's rain? And this whole thing. And so he's to build this ark, this huge boat that's never been built this big before, because it's going to flood, and nobody knows what a flood is. And Job preached while he was doing this, preached the mercy of God for 120 years. Think about that. That's endurance. That's how did Job get the blessings in the end? By endurance. Noah went into the ark after 120 years. 120 years. You know how many converts Job had? Noah had. I get the right characters, right? I'm sorry. Noah had. You know how many converts he had? Zero. If you were a salesman and you had zero sales in 120 years, you think your boss would keep you on? They may want you to move on and try a different occupation. I don't know how Job was as a preacher. But zero converts isn't very impressive. But the issue wasn't the numbers, was it? What was the issue? Obedience. That was the issue. What if Job said after 100 years, God, I've had enough. Get somebody else. God, I got the boat 3/4 of the way done. Get somebody else. Lord, isn't it time that I get to do something for me? He got to do something for me. He went into the ark. You see, sometimes we just see it, what we're doing, but God makes it for us and He blesses us. Do you think Noah was glad that he preached 120 years when he walked out of the ark? What rejoicing that must have been. God saved Noah. Noah found grace, I like that verse, in the eyes of the Lord. Remember the very first sermon we talked about the reason that Job had patience wasn't because of the difficulty he went through and he learned patience. It was because he was already an obedient, faithful child of God. Jonah, going to get the right story yet. Noah survived and preached 120 years because he was already faithful, obedient child of God. Does that make sense? Other people who endured to the end and saw the blessings in the end because they stuck around to the end. David. You know, we don't think so much as David and his endurance, his patience. But David was in the household of King Saul, and he played for him and soothed him when he had troubling times. And God came unto the household of David, his father, and he said, "Give me your sons. One of your sons will be king." David never came before Samuel the prophet at the first time because his father didn't think David was big enough, strong enough, capable of being king. But you know, we can do great things when God blesses. And as David was still a young man, Samuel anointed David king. And for a period, I didn't go back and read the story, I think it's like 20 years. It's a long time. David has to survive knowing he's going to be king and Saul trying to kill him. He endured. David did great things for Israel. Oh, he was human. But he also did great things. What about Abraham? When Abraham was 75, God said, "You're going to have a child." People don't have children when they're 75. And so when he's 80-something, him and his wife get the great idea that they're going to help God out. That's never a good idea. But you know what? He was always faithful. His helping God out wasn't about his not being faithful. He didn't have the right understanding of God's plan and got ahead of God. 25 years later, these two old people, when people should be enjoying grandkids, they got to have their first son. Could you imagine their joy? Could you imagine their endurance? Their patience? What about Moses? 40 years in Egypt. He was a prince. That's a life in itself. 40 years he was a shepherd on the backside of the desert. And then God appeared unto him. He said, "Moses, your life has just begun. Your 80 years have been all about what I want you to start doing today." And Moses said, "Lord, I think you got the wrong address. I think this is a wrong number, Lord. There's other people that can talk better." And God says, "Moses, I don't want you because you can talk good. I want you because you're faithful." You see the difference? And for 40 years, he led Israel. Why that verse in Job 42, verse 12? "So the Lord blessed the end, the latter end of Job, much more than the beginning." Look at the beginning of the book of Job. He had 7 wonderful sons, 3 wonderful daughters. They worshiped God with him. He was a rich man. And yet, the end was better than the beginning. Why? Because he stuck around until the end. And I'm going to explain that just a little bit more here in a second. 3 things I want us to consider. That's my introduction. You're going to say, "Oh no." That's my introduction. I promise my 3 points will go quick. 3 things that we need to do to be able to stick around to the end. The first one, don't blame God. Go to James 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot tempt with evil, neither tempt he any man." Don't blame God. How did Job endure to the end? Not by blaming God. He trusted God, didn't he? There was some things that he knew. Lots of things he didn't know, but there was some things he knew. One was, my Redeemer liveth. He had his trust in God. Don't blame God. Bad things happen in our life, and what do? We get angry with God. God, why did you do this to me? Jonah is a wonderful example of that. God came and says, Jonah, I got a wonderful job for you. I got these people over here that I believe that if I could just get somebody to preach to them, they would repent. And Jonah says, well, Lord, who is it? And he says, why don't you go to Nineveh? And Jonah says, Lord, you know those are the enemies of Israel, right? Those are bad people, Lord. God says, I know, but do it anyway. And Jonah says, nope, he goes the other way. He says, I won't do it. And when he did finally go preach, and sure enough, Nineveh repented. And Jonah sits down and is mad at God. You ever been mad at God? I bet many of us as children of God have been mad at God. Because we blame God for things that aren't his fault. First of all, for Job to have blamed God would have not been true, because who took all of his wealth? Satan. Who took his health? Satan. What was God doing? God was just waiting to bless him in the end, wasn't he? God is good. In dealing with this temptation and not blaming God, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, with every temptation, God does what? He provides a way of escape. That's what that verse says. With every temptation, with every difficulty, with every burden, with every trial, with every persecution, God provides a way to endure. Don't blame God. What does Peter say? Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. How do we endure to the end? Not blaming God, trusting God. The second one, how to endure to the end? Run to the end. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:26. First Corinthians 9:26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What a sad thought. People who don't endure to the end. You know, if I asked you, if you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, why, I'm sure there was somebody in your life who influenced you, who shared Christ with you. If I asked you today, is that person still serving Christ? One of the people who influenced me most in my Christian service isn't serving God today. Isn't that sad? The influence he had on me, the influence this man had on many others, and yet he didn't endure to the end. He himself became a castaway. Is he saved? Does he know Jesus Christ as personal Savior? We don't lose that, do we? But you know, God has so much more for us if we endure to the end. He wants to bless us, doesn't he? Look at Galatians 5, verse 7. Galatians 5, verse 7. Paul says unto the church and the children of God at Galatia, he says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth. Oh, we always have reasons. I don't go to church because so-and-so did this. I don't go to church because I can't, because of... We always have reasons. But it comes down to your choice. The only one who keeps you from serving God is you. That's it. God does everything He can to get you to serve Him, to believe in Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ to die for you. That's pretty incredible. Incredible thing right there. He loves you that much. He calls us. He woos us. Yeah, there are people who do things to hinder us, but our relationship with God is ours. If we stop serving, it is our choice. I can't make you stop serving. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? You know why he was thrown in there? Because he was serving God. Did that make him stop serving God? Even in the lion's den, he served God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love that story. If you read that story, as they were being put in there, the last thing that the king says, you want to say something? They said, yeah. They said, whether or not God brings us through the fire or not, He's still God. I like that. And then when the king looked in, he saw a fourth man. And you know who it looked like? Looked like Jesus. That's the kind of God we have. If you stop serving, it's your choice. I've often asked the question, will you still be serving God in a month? In a year? In 10 years? In 20 years? The choices you make today determine whether or not you'll be serving God 10 years, 20 years from now. Because if you're not serving God today, you won't serve Him a year from now. It starts with today. The last thing, in how do we stick around to the end? Wait on the Lord. Turn with me to Psalms 27, verse 14. Psalms 27, verse 14. And it says there, wait on the Lord. Just wait. Job had to wait. Abraham had to wait. David had to wait. You'll have to wait. We don't like to wait. Sometimes we'll be like Abraham. We want to be faithful and we want to figure it out for him. Sometimes we'll be like Jonah and we'll run the other way because it's not worth waiting. It's not worth doing it God's way. Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't be discouraged. And He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As Job sat there, he waited on the Lord. When his friends quizzed him and challenged him, he said, lots of things I don't know, but this I know. My Redeemer liveth. Wait on the Lord. How do we endure toward the end? Three things, I believe, three characteristics we need to know. Don't blame God. Run into the end. You're not going to get the blessings in the end if you're not in the end with God. What if Noah would have said, Lord, at year 119, I'm done preaching. That's what many children of God do. We serve God faithfully, and then one day we just throw up our hands and we do it our own way. We stop. And it's kind of like Paul who said to the church at Galatia, ye did run so well. Who did hinder you? And the answer is only yourself. The choices that you make. And that last thing, so important, wait on the Lord. The pianist and song leader will come. If you're here in this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, the beginning better than the end. God loves you. He created you. That's a pretty good beginning. But you know what? He wants to give you something better, eternal life. That ending is much better than the beginning. That second birth. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? What an important decision. And if you're here this morning and a child of God, maybe you're going through some difficult times. Maybe you need to turn some things over to the Lord. Maybe you need to work on some of those three things: blaming God, not blaming God, continuing to run the race. Maybe you've gotten backslidden. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Say, Lord, okay, I'm ready to get in there again and keep going. And maybe you need some encouragement and just to wait on the Lord and say, Lord, I know you love me. I'm enduring. I'm just waiting to the end for those blessings. Let's all stand if you have a need this morning.